This podcast is brought to you by Voice of Vets. Voice of Vets. Hear it. Feel it. Feel it. Feel it. Feel it. Feel it. Feel it.
We're talking all things our names. Are we living up to our names? Are you living up to your name? Or even igama lakho, is it something that, what does it mean also?
We are joined by Umbuso Khoza, who is an award-winning vocalist, a founder of a Value of Culture Foundation, a columnist and a chairperson of the KZN Heritage Foundation. Baba Umbuso, welcome to Area Code.
Pleasure me and to the listeners of our FM.
Today we're just here to wrap up a conversation, sikhuluma ngamagama ethu and where they come from, and do people actually live up to their names? And we know we see some people as well get their names from ama clan names. Uthola ukuthi umuntu bambiza ngo yeyeye as a name, kodwa uyeyeye uyisithakazelo. So I think maybe the first place where we'd go is let's look at the importance of e-culture in the year 2021, because it seems as though we are slowly moving away from it as the new generation.
I think evolution is inevitable. However, when we evolve, it has to be informed by who we are originally, so that we seek inspiration from the past experiences, but not to say we have to live exactly how our forefathers used to. So now we need to put a distinction between history, culture, and heritage. History comes in as an intervention to record what is happening. Later cultures are born from those events. But to a certain extent, there are cultures that can't be practiced because of the environment and time, such as the animal skins. You can't wear them every day because even there is global warming. It gets cold sometimes. So now the environment does not allow us to practice those cultures. We safeguard them as what? As an inheritance. This is why we wear them on Heritage Day. Now, let us go back now to the culture of naming kids. When the child is born, there is a commemoration that is being performed. Others call it a ritual. I don't want to think of our traditions as rituals, because somehow it's like a cult. It's like ancestors are always hungry for blood, and then we have to kill cows. You know, we need to put clarity on these things. So now, when a child is born, there would be something called imbeleko. They would take a goat skin and then and shape it into what you call imbeleko. And then later that kid would use this as a culture, as a symbol that say the child is born. And then she will be given a name if it's a girl. But that name is historic. So sometimes they would see, would, this is a girl. Oh, shorty sex figure in Tombi Zamakhoza manje. So meaning, lo muntu, this girl belongs to Okhoza. It's more like it gives you more affirmation. But beyond that, because history transcends, so language transcends history. Simply because the words that we are using, they carry their own spirit and history according to a particular environment. So now, it means you carry this name to understand that you leave your name because it's a prophecy.
Usually, Mr. Khoza, speak of culture and tradition as two different things. Can you kindly differentiate them for us?
Let's start with history, because history gives birth to culture. Because of certain happenings, people tend to canonize that particular happening. I'll give you an example of the Ngubane people as a clan. There was a man by the name of Nzombane Ngubane who was a trusted man of King Shaka, and he was good-looking. So they had a fight with some of the people that were around the courtiers of King Shaka. So later they took his eyes out. And then later, he called all the family members and said, I'm asking that all the infants of Ngubane from today to be cut off the small finger, so that when I play with them, I touch them, I would know what I've played with a Ngubane child since I can't see anymore. Right. But that person is no longer around. I'm struggling to understand why certain cultures should be continued, even though they seem to be dehumanizing us because of time and environment. They should be kept as what? Inheritance, heritage, or part of our history. So now, a culture is a structure of feeling. It's a way of life according to those people who are at that particular environment, being inspired by a different thing in that environment. So now you ask yourself in 2021, if we still have to do things exactly how our forefathers used to do things, if we are not going to fail. Look at the Battle of Isandlwana. I'm giving you another example. Zulus conquered the British army, but can they conquer the British army today? No, because weaponry, they have evolved. You know, we are still wearing these animal skin exactly how we used to in the olden days.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is, a culture is a structure of feeling, and it has to serve the people of that time. If that particular culture can't be practiced because of the environment and time and battles that have taken place, it needs to be safeguarded as what? As inheritance. This is why we have to wear a certain way on Heritage Day, symbolizing those cultures that can't be practiced in the modern day.
Mm. Now, Mr. Khoza, umbuzo wethu wokuqala, when we gave it to you, you spoke about
yes.
people's names and obviously saying ukuthi sesithole inkosazana khona kaKhoza and so and therefore we give a name. Why is it so important that we name ourselves? Why is it so important ukuthi amagama ethu abe nesiqu, where it comes from in particular? And why is it also important to live up to the name, or how can one always live up to the name?
If you check in history, even the science itself, it reveals that it's us as humans who give names to things. And moreover, as human beings, what distinguishes us from animals is that we are social animals. We don't react to things. We think, we talk, and then we act. So now, when a child is born, it means now you are respecting nature, because each time the sun comes out, there are those who give thanks. You know, you look at our cultures today, we have Nomkhubulwane, and we used to have even an angel of sun, we used to have an angel of rain, different, you know, deities in Africa. So now when we give name to things, when a child is born, is given a name, is actually giving a blessing to uphold, to live by. Umbusuyeza. Meaning, at some point in life, you will live a good life.
Yeah.
But again, that was influenced by the lifestyle and the pureness of our parents. The challenge today, our parents can never say things that will be followed by a prophecy because of the way we live. Mm. We are no longer pure. I remember in the olden days when you see an old man dying on his deathbed, looking so happy, telling the family on the things that are going to happen in their lives. So in the olden days, you would give a name to your child as a prophecy, as something that is going to happen to their lives. And as part of recording history again, because before you give a name to a child, you look at what is happening, like me. I never met my father when my mother gave birth to me. She didn't know what to do. She was young. And then a lady who adopted me, she said, Umbusuyeza.
Mm.
You know, looking at the things that you went through. So today, I think we get married to sounds. Abulele, Alinde, you know. And I think it goes with times. When you read a book and it talks about the names of the society, the onomastics, it will even explain which during a particular year you used to have Abosizwe, because people were fighting for the land. Isizwe. You know, over the years it changed. People began to expect things in life. My child will have good things. Alindo kuhle umntanam, yabo. Athandiwe amakhosa, you know.
Yeah.
But these names, when you go back, they were different from now. So it's us who give names to things simply because we are social beings, we are social animals.
Mm. Now, Babu Khoza, La Ohlelweni Area Code, on Monday we were celebrating our clan names. You know, yes, how they came about and what not. So when someone is disconnected with their with their ancestors,
yes,
could there be inkinga engamfaka kuyona if they are just disconnected with their ancestors?
For me, I would say the only thing that you will suffer from is the lack of knowledge on who you are. And then this is why today you meet Izangoma and they tell you what to do because you don't know who you are. So it's very important to work on knowledge for self because it will enable you to do better for self. And surnames, how they came about, They came out of the areas people they lived around, or rivers. You look at the people of Tembe as a surname. Tembe, they had their homes around a river called Umtembe, and another river was called Maputo. Later, there was a king called Maputo who was from this family, and there was another person called Utembe from this family. They were named after these rivers they were, you know, they lived next to. Later, Portuguese came here and they misspelled, they called it Maputo instead of Maputo, who was a king of the time. So you look at these things, they are really important to investigate because there are a lot of richness that we can get. And as Africans, the challenge is that we are busy reflecting on bottles of alcohol. We don't reflect on our lives and histories and things that can make us prosper in life. And later, if you have isbongo, that is, it stems out of that one person who gave birth to that one individual that gave birth to the next one. You know, later these people, they give thanks by saying isibongo from a verb, ubong. And then there's something called ukuthakasela, being happy when you see someone. They mispronounce this thing later and call it isithakazelo. Actually, it's isithakaseli because I'm so happy to see you. I thank those who came before you. Ninjani Khoza. But if I'm extremely happy, I'll find myself saying, "How mkhathini? Mbi omange." So isithakaseli. Yes. Now I'm too happy. I'm even calling those who contributed to the formation of your identity. So all I'm saying, I think we need to be logical when explaining our culture. We should do away with these myths and magic, like, if you don't do this, you shall have bad luck. It's you, it's us who create these spirits. And then when they come back to bite us, we're like, our ancestors are angry. There is no ancestors angry here. It's us who build these cultures and then say, if you don't do 1, 2, 3, you're going to die, you're going to suffer. And then when that happens, we blame gods and ancestors.
Yeah. Conceal.
Mr. Khoza, ngiyathanda lento oyishoyo when you're talking about how we are so stuck up in amabodlela and we're not necessarily focusing on the history of our culture and preserving it specifically. And speaking of the history of our culture, we know, Uguti, most of our English names were given to us in the apartheid eras. And I see, Uguti, now it's now carried on, even though we're now no longer in the apartheid era. And you find people naming their kids, oh, Leila,
Julie, fancy words.
You know, these names. Maybe we find people, they have English names, and why is this so? Where does this stem from? And now that we've done away with the apartheid area, why does it continue to resurface and you find Uguti, our kids are being named, I don't want to call it a foreign language, but especially in our ancestral realm, it's something foreign. That is foreign.
I think it's because even before the apartheid, it's because of the missionary influences. King Mshweshe fought in 1878 with the British armies. The Zulus also fought with the British armies in 1879. These people came with the Bible. These people came with a mission. They built churches, and then they told you, if you perform a umsebenzi in the kaya, and then you prepare umgomboti, that's demonic. And then born on Sunday, they're busy drinking wine, but what is it? You know, so they were dehumanizing our cultures to understand that we believe them. So now when you're wearing an animal skin versus someone who's wearing a suit in a church, as soon as you wear a suit, something dies inside you. Fashion is a structure of feeling as well. Fashion is cultural. So now, in order for you to relinquish who you are you have to lose your name and be given a new one. So later, that became a fashion. Because now, if Mary of Magdala was the mother of Jesus and you name your kid Magdalene, if you haven't read the history, you feel like this is a holy name. But Magdala is just a place. There were so many Marys when you check the history of Yeshua or Jesus. Her mother was Mary of Magdala. And his friend, Mary, who was very smart, was also a Mary of Magdala, you know. So all I'm saying, you know, these things, they came positioned spiritually as if they will uplift us, only to find that they will colonize us. So now this thing went as far as the music itself. Because when you go to church, from Umkhosa, maybe, hey, and then you go to a church that says, something changes. You know. Something changes inside you. So now that was the colonization of ears and the colonization of tonality itself that that forced us again or compelled us to name our kids of English songs. Because when you go to these primary schools, you are given a classical music, not a Nguni or a Xhosa music. So that's how we died. Even the languages that we are speaking today, I was looking at the how they are calling COVID, but who could that? But you are still borrowing from an English dialect.
Yes,
but when you look at this illness, so we can call it Ugimbi instead. So that we ascribe more value to our language and its linguistic segments.
Yabona ngiyithanda lento oyithinta kuyona ukuthi mangabuye esontweni ufice ukucula izulu bese uya kwelinye isonto ufice ukuculwa elinye ulimi lapho yabo. So ngibuyisa la ukuthi can we look into the spiritual symbol of our clan names, because we call people our lineage. So what is the spiritual symbol of our clan names yabo? Iphumaphi le ndaba?
When a child is born, the child inherits a component called protein, both from the mother and the father.
Yeah.
And somehow, we need to talk about this one day, Uguti. If a child gets its lines from the mother, according to our chromosomes, Nobab, why would a child take the surname of her father? Because there is no way that a child can exist without both these parties, you know. But we'll talk about that one day. But I think it's one of those patriarchal gestures that were, you know, set early in the during the formation of our identities. You look at the Bible; they position God as a man, but who is the wife? You know, God create anyone. We address him as him because that's the only thing that comes to mind when you look at the structure of a family. But God can't be a man. Yeah. We are raping, we are abusing, we don't resemble the man that is we claim is God. You know, so when we talk about culture, we need to talk about the beginning of the beginnings, Indulo Lamandulo, on how things began and the configuration of our minds before we think our ancestors can do bad things to us. Have we tried at least 10 times and acquired experience on the area of a career that I want before I think ancestors are bewitching me? Yet there are so many wrong things that we are doing. We need to use our minds and be tactical thinkers as Africans. You look at the Battle of Isandlwana. The British only brought 1,200 soldiers against 20,000. It's because they knew they were going to use their minds, not their number. You look at how KZN, you know, a few weeks ago when people were looting. It's because we need to instill that cultural value that says, if you have a crop, there's no way that you can burn your crop because you know your kids won't eat. If you burn your shop, you know, you need to think before you burn a shop, hey, Have I stopped eating bread? Mm. Oh, no, I haven't. Okay, so I can't. Mm. You know, so e-culture is a yeast of the nation. That's the only thing that can be able to bring about the cohesiveness of the people when we have that one thing that we love about us, that unites us.
I can't shy away from your passion every time I hear you talking. Even today, I can feel goosebumps.
I can see you.
Yes, you know, I'm snapping. I'm just like, wow, everything that you're saying just makes so much sense. I want us to go back to the point where you mentioned about chromosomes and, you know, a child getting more of the mother than the father, and what then constitutes the child getting the father's surname. You know, we were having a conversation with Zakes as well here before we brought you on into the conversation, saying that he would like to have a son. Why is it so important? Why is it so? I think it's a repetition where abantu besilisa insist on having a boy child, and maybe you can just conclude that conversation for us. Why is it so important for abantu besilisa to have boy children, and what would you say to oppose that? Maybe just like how you've touched on abantu besifazane carrying the majority DNA in a child as well.
On that one, it's slightly different. Because even in the olden days, the reason Umgaba, who was a daughter of Ujama, could not take over as a king, she had to go and ask Umtaniya to get married to his father. And then Senzangakhona was born. Simply because there were battles at the time, and it's dangerous to give a woman something that is meant to carry the legacy of the family, because she might get married to another surname, and that person might manipulate her and take over the kingship. So that was the fear over the years, which you must have a son because all your daughters must get married and never come back.
Mm.
I think that was the reason. It's a similar thing with the parts of the body of a cow that are being eaten by a woman, not by a man. Like in Togo, used to be eaten by a man, and then a woman would eat nyama's foba, and then a young woman would eat ibele, you know. But all of these are symbolical. If you check a skull of a cow, it's too hard. So men would think, let's think of the woman, they must eat a soft meat, you know, it's fine, we can eat whatever. So now, later, people think, hey, inyama enhloko is so nice. This is why men, they chose ukuthi idliwe bona. No, it was just being considerate. And then women eat ibele simple because it's a symbol. They still need to suck knowledge from their elders.
Mina babukhoza ngisane nkinga nje nina leyo nyama, nyama yenhloko. I really, really like nyama yenhloko. So we need to scratch that rule out.
But what I'm saying, is ukuthi in 2021, you can't expect to nyama yenhloko is our matter of fact. It used to work on that particular era. And if we allow Ilokuzan, culture to breathe and evolve, I'm telling you, we will have a lot of impact as Africans in the world. But because we are always keen on backwardness in our cultures, and it should be like this. That's how it should be. But the problem is that, but this is 2021, let us throw away our cell phones then, if that's how it should be, and say, Molam Shabarami! You know, so it's for me, I find it very, very paradoxical if one would say a certain culture must be retained, the other one must be kept, done away with. All I'm saying is, what we need to do, let us sit down and tread carefully on our culture. This one dehumanizes us. Why a woman has no place in the family? For instance, if you get married to Wakhoza, it's like you're coming to a job interview. You must come, do 1, 2, 3. But why don't you become a child of this family? Because you are family now.
Yeah.
Why would Umama feel threatened by Umakoti of her son? Because she's supposed to be taking her hand and say, hey, when I got married to this family, it was like this. So you must look at things like this. She must become a mentor and a supervisor instead of a competitor.
Mm. In just a minute, because yes. You know, when we say encourage people to do what they love, you know, do what you love and watch what's not in order for you to be happy in life as well. So how do you take spirituality and connect it together with your craft?
Spirituality connected to my craft.
Yeah. Yeah, spirituality.
How do you bring in your spirituality to your craft? Yeah. Especially, you know...
Oh, yes, it's easy. It's simple. No one is creative on this earth. But you get this thing through this component called hereditary process and DNA.
Okay.
There are those who were gifted in the olden days, but who could not... do what we're doing now because the environment did not allow them. They didn't have stages during the 1800s like we have today. But through genealogy, you find that there is a window period when your father is having sex with your mother. As soon as there is ejaculation, there is that process of spirituality where your mother, your late grandfather would say, this time, lo uzothatha ikhala lami, lo uzothatha imlenze yami. This one, ukule kuthi how? Uyazi unekhala likamkhulu wakhe lona. These are gifts that you get from your ancestors through this hereditary process.
Babukhoza Mkhathini Mbiwa.
Yeah.
Njamanzi emnyama kakanani.
Umuntu akaqedi indoda ayiqonda.
Ah, ngakana ekhaya lo. Hayi ngakana kwakhoza ungikhulumele mfowethu. Angikaniwe vele.
Baba siyabonga kakhulu ukusijoyina la eVawu FM. It's been a pleasure chatting to you.
Thank you so much. I hope it makes sense.
You
absolutely.
Did. It made a lot of sense.
Siyabonga.
All right, so that was Babukhoza, Mr. Mbuso Khoza, speaking to us about people's names and living up to it and the history of it. Yeah, I'm even shaking.
Yeah, gooses.
I feel like I'm dumb. When so much information is bombarded to you.
It's just like, okay,
and
that's
you. Feel like, okay. Obaba Mbuso Khoza is an award-winning vocalist, a founder of Value of Culture Foundation, a columnist and a chairperson of the KZN Heritage Foundation. We asked you to send us your voice notes on 084-078-4912 and let us know, do you know the meaning of your name and... basically, are you living up to it? Do you know the history behind it? We want to hear from you. And if not, if you are not living up to your name, is it a pressure that is mounting up for you to live up to your name?
Hi, Ericode. So my name is Tando, and I don't think I'm living up to my name because I'm single and I'm not involved in any romantic relationship. So, yeah.
Single. Oh my God, I love Tando, ne?
Tandonje.
Tando's coming through and saying that Aganalu Tando, she's in no relationship, therefore she somewhat feels like she's not living up to her name. You know the pressure of living up to your name. It has been things on the story about how I got my name, Uprit.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna go there.
Let's
wrap it up with the last voice note of the day.
Hi Erico team, my name is Nati. And I do think that I'm living up to my name because I'm with everyone all the time.
What's up, Area Code? Dope show. So I felt compelled. I needed to say this. My name is Nqedo Lekhaya, Nqedo for short. And I'd like to say that I really live up to my name because I'm the only one here in Joburg. They down in East London and I'm always out here sending money, man. So I'm helping out, aren't I?
Someone on Area Code, Kamalam Gunsika, and Sika means pillar of strength, and I do believe that I do give a helping hand to other people, not necessarily my family. So I'm just being a pillar of strength for people out there.
Hello, so igama lami uJohnny Langa. So yeah, I do live up to my name because vele ngihlezi vele ngijongile lapha esitradini ukuthi bangalimaza edladleni. Thank you.
Man,
I like Insika.
I love Insika.
Insika yezwe.
Nalo othu sizekhaya
because
we Zakhele Twala, Zakhele everything I've built for myself. It's right here.
I think for the record, my name is Nkosi Siphile Sibusisiwe. Those are my names.
This podcast was brought to you by Voice of Vids. By Voice of Vids. To hear more of our shows, tune in to 88.1 or stream via www.vofm.co.za.